fire. And the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then the last, I think, was an earthquake. Is that right? But the Lord wasn't in an earthquake. But it was in that still, small voice. And you can't always tell the Spirit by running and shouting. You can't always tell, because I've been in certain churches like that, and people be running and shouting. You couldn't feel nothing. I couldn't. It was all for show. But the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit starts with love. And I tell you, if somebody's got love, they got the Spirit. Amen. I believe that. I certainly do. Start in chapter 5. Let's go to Matthew 5 first. Then we'll go to Matthew chapter 6. I won't read both chapters in full, just portions of each. But Matthew chapter 5, we'll start there. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. And if you find your place and you'd like to, you can stand with us to honor God's word. You know, it's not to honor me or this pulpit, but it's only God's word that we honor doing this. Matthew 5, 14. After we read this portion, stay standing. We'll go to Matthew 6, just a page over, and start in verse 19. But now we'll go to Matthew 5, 14. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And then in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, we'll start there and end, I guess, about verse number 24. Matthew 6, 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Let's pray. God, as we bow before you again tonight, we want to thank you for this opportunity to be back in your house. Lord, we want to thank you for the chance, Lord, to be among your people. God, it's so good to be with friends and loved ones. God, again tonight in a regular church service. Lord, I know that you know my heart right now, and you know the hearts of the ones that are gathered here. Lord, my heart is filled with delight. Lord, just to be able to be in a church service again at Welcome Grove. Lord, you know where our heart is tonight. We pray that you'd be with us as we've open the scriptures, and Lord, as we try to, Lord, preach the word, we pray that you'd help us to preach it with power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, Lord, but Lord, that you might preach through us the unspeakable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be able, Lord, to say and do something that will bring honor and glory to your name. God, we don't want the honor and glory, but Father, it all belongs to you. And Lord, as Brother Jeff said earlier, we're here to worship, Lord, you in spirit and in truth. God, I believe that we can still worship in the preaching part of the service just like we did, Lord, in the other parts of the service. And God, we ask you to help us tonight to do that, Lord, to still remain in a spirit of worship, God, as we go through the scriptures now. We ask you to be with the ones that are gathered here, Lord, the requests that have been made known, God, the needs, Lord, that have been mentioned, and Lord, that maybe even are just floating around in the minds of your people, maybe that we didn't mention out loud, but you know our hearts, you know our minds and all the things on our hearts. We pray that you bless all these needs. Bless every family represented, every church represented, every ministry represented here tonight, God, in a special way. Help us, Lord, and let your word go out and not return void. We know you promised that, and God, we pray that you'd give us hearing ears and receptive hearts, Lord, that we not only to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, lest we would deceive our own selves. Bless us, help us, Lord. Help our country, Lord, and those in authority over us. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, thank you for standing. The certain little key points in the service that have really helped me have been the points in the service when things were mentioned about seeing and about the light, and even the testimony that Brother Brandon made about the light fixtures up above our heads. All have really helped me and encouraged me to know that I'm on the right track with the message. The way the service was going, I really didn't know if I was on the right track. And the first thing I was going to say when I got up was, I may be on the wrong track, but I think I'm on the right track.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm glad about that. It's a big load off of a preacher's mind when he finally figures out he's on the right track with the thought that he's got to preach. I'm honest. Because there's sometimes when I feel like I've got it all figured out, Brother Jeff and Brother EJ, you all know what it's like. You think you got it all figured out and ready and planned. You're going to preach it in a certain way, and then God just, nope, that's not how the service goes, and that's not what God intends. But I'm glad to be here tonight and to have, I think, something that's really going to be a help to us all with the help of the Lord. Not anything that I will say or do, but the Word of God is very powerful. It's swift and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive, and it'll help us if we'll listen to it. Don't you agree? Amen. So in Matthew chapter 5, we know this is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. They talk about how in the book of Luke that it might have been the sermon in the plain. Either way, regardless of what it is or where it was, it's still the Lord, and He gives a great sermon here to us and to the people that were there. And He talks here about the salt of the earth and the city that's set on a hill, and it cannot be hid. In chapter number 5, He talks about how that men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. But when somebody lights a candle, and you see, you have to understand, in these days, they had little lamps that they would use. Y'all ever seen those little lamps? Brother Sammy Adams, when I was at Center Baptist Church, brought us home some lamps from Israel, and every family got a lamp. And it's a little clay lamp that they made out of clay, and they would put a little olive oil in there, and there was a wick, and it would just kind of give off a little bit of modest light. Nothing great or extravagant, nothing like we have here, but just a little bit of light would be put out by that little lamp. And so Jesus talks about how nobody lights one of those little lamps or those little candles simply to put it under a bushel or to put it under some sort of bowl, but the reason they light it is to put it up somewhere so that it can light the whole house. Right? And when we think about light, and we think about the light that they're talking about, they had to strategically place those things in the house in certain places where there would not be a dark spot anywhere. They could have them either on a candlestick, maybe something standing right in the middle of the room with a little lamp on top, or they might put them in little niches in the walls and things like that. But either way, they did it strategically for a reason. And I'm going to get somewhere with that in just a minute, but I just wanted you to think about it in that way. Jesus makes a very plain point. It's very, very simple, but it's very true and helpful to us, that there's nobody that comes into a room that's dark and lights the light and turns on the switch and then quickly goes over and covers it up with a blanket, right? There's a reason that we walk into a dark room and immediately switch on the light. And the reason is there's things in that room that we need to be able to see. There's things in that room that we need to be able to identify and kind of survey so that we know what we can do in that room, right? We might walk into a room that we've never been in before expecting to use the bathroom. And when we turn the light on, we find that it's not a bathroom, but rather it's a library. And we can't do what we intended to do in there, but we wouldn't have known that except we turned the light on, right? Now just hang with me. I'm going to get somewhere with this in just a minute. Just hang with me. Go to chapter number 6 now and look at what he says here. He kind of takes a different approach and a different text or a different message that he begins to preach here. In chapter 5, he's talking about how the people of God are the salt. They're the light of the world. But now he talks about how that there is a light for our body. There's a light for ourselves. There's a light for us. And he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. And I'll stop right there really quick, because there's two main reasons that the Israelites and God's people in this day and those in Jerusalem would keep the lamps burning through the night. Number one, it was because they had a dread of darkness. And I know that if you'll remember in the Old Testament that even when the world had darkness, God's people had light. Amen. And God's people ought to always be encouraged to keep the lights burning. Amen. That's right. We ought to always keep our lights on. Amen. All the time. We ought to have a dread of the darkness. And I'll get to that too in just a minute. But also, they kept the lights on for another reason. Number two was because they were afraid that prowlers might come in and steal. And so he talks about that here. He speaks to that in verse 19. He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures here, because moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Yes. And look what he goes to in just a minute in verse number 20 and 21. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What he's getting at is there ought to be some sort of prize in our eyesight. There ought to be some sort of goal, some sort of end, amen, something that we can see ahead of us that we're trying to achieve. There ought to be. There ought to be some sort of goal, something in our sights that we keep our eyesight focused on, and it ought not to be the treasures of this world and laying up treasures down here. Now, Brother Blake, are you preaching against wealth because I've got a lot of money in the bank? No, it's not that I think even Jesus was preaching against wealth. But if our main goal in life is to acquire a bunch of stuff, then our eyes are in the wrong place. Our focus is wrong. But he says, instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And our eyes ought to be set on heaven. And that ought to be the great goal, and that ought to be the great ending, amen, of our life that we are striving to get to. We talk about that race that we run, and we ought to run it with patience, the race that's set before us, striving, amen, to achieve the prize. Right? And so he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In other words, your eyesight, your focus ought to be what you can do that's heavenly and that's eternal. Amen. Not just what you can get down here. And so he says this, and it's so interesting the way he puts it. And it's interesting to me even more because I love the eyes. Eyes have always interested me. Matter of fact, I did a project about eyes when I was in high school. And I even drew a diagram of an eye and even the pupil and the cornea and everything and how things work with the eye. But listen to what he says about the eye in verse number 22. And this is scientific, and I'm glad. I like it whenever the Bible backs up science, don't you?
Yes, sir. God bless y'all,
brother. I just do. I don't know why. Verse number 22 says, the light of the body is the eye. Did you know if you went to look up eye, if you just looked up eye on the internet, you put it in Google or whatever you want to do, if you went to an encyclopedia and opened it up and looked up eye, the very first thing that you'll see, I'm going to read it because I can't remember some of this, it's an organ that detects light. And then what it does is it converts it into electrochemical impulses in neurons. Neurons take it to the brain, and it figures out what the light is being projected in that eyeball. And that's what Jesus said. The eye is the light of the body. The light of the body is the eye. So what does that matter? Why does that make sense? Or why does that even make any big deal in our life and in a spiritual walk with God? What difference does it make that the eye is the light of the body? The light of the body is the eye. Because Jesus says, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And we talk a lot about being full of the Holy Ghost. We want to walk in the Spirit. That way we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? But guess what? The Spirit is also the light. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he also said in another portion of Scripture, I am the light of the world. And he said, I came into a dark place, the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness always hates the light. Matter of fact, darkness always flees when light comes around. Right? And so what does it matter that we would open our eyes and see the light? You remember they used to sing a song, I saw the light, I saw the light, praise the Lord, I saw the light. And we don't sing it so much anymore. Maybe it's a little bit too simple for some of us, but it's good. That's a good thought, amen, that I saw the light, amen, one day. I was blind, but now I see. You know what Jesus said about it? He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. People that are lost, don't expect them to know the things that you know about God and His Word. They're not going to know them because they can't see them. They can't understand them. And so he says, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And it's always been clear that light and darkness are opposing forces. Light is good and it represents what is good. Darkness is bad and represents what is bad, right? And so when Jesus talks about light and our body being full of light, that's a good thing. That's what we want. We want our body to be full of light.
Yeah, bless it, Lord.
And if our eye is single, then our body will be full of light. And it's significant that our body be full of light, and that is our self, our person, me. I want to be full of light. Why? Because what happens, it's like what happened when you got saved. And I've said it here before. This is what happens. The gospel of Jesus Christ, His holy word, opens up and shines a light down in your soul. And it exposes all the things down in there. Right? Kind of like when you walk into that room and flip on the light switch. You see everything. You can see all the stuff that's in there, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And did you know if the body is full of light, then there can be a great work done in us, just like in the house. I'll never forget whenever we had Elijah, and we were at the hospital, and Miss Casey was sitting in the hospital room in the bed with Elijah next to her, and Sammy Hall and my dad and Isaac, I think, maybe was there too. We were all out getting a cup of coffee. It was around midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, and I wanted to brag on Miss Casey a little bit, and this is what I said. I said, I can remember, we were 19 when we got married. Remember that now. How many 19-year-olds you know like this? Listen, we would go on the way home to our house, and we would see down the road that there were no lights on anywhere. And so immediately we discovered, well, the power must be out. And so guess what would happen? We would get home, and Miss Casey would go gather up the candles, and she would light the candles around the house. Why? So that she could see what needed to be done in the house. Amen. And we are not going to be able to see what needs to be done in the house if we don't have the lights on in the house. Am I getting any leeway here? Am I progressing a little bit with the message? Are you seeing what I'm trying to get at here? We need the light inside of us so that God can begin to change us and to clean us up. Amen. We need it. So he says the light is the body of the eye. Excuse me. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if the eye is single, what does single mean? Single means that it's healthy or that it's simple or that it's clear. We have to have a clear vision. We do. You remember what the Scripture says about it? In Proverbs 29, you remember what the Bible says? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let me tell you something. If we wander around in life, I don't want to get to the end of my life and find out that I was just wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. Amen. There's a promised land. You remember Moses, and he had to lead those children of Israel around in the wilderness for 40 years because they could never get their focus quite right. Could they? They were not very far from the promised land. It was just in sight. But they never could get there. I don't want my life to end up where I'm laying on my deathbed and I have to look over at Miss Casey and say, Casey, I never made any leeway. I never got anywhere in my life because my eyes were not fixed on heaven. Amen. Our eyes need to be cleared up. They need to be cleared up, washed, amen. Just like Jesus talks about also, I believe it's in this same Sermon on the Mount, how that it's so easy for me to look at Brother Mallory and say, hey, you got a little speck in your eye. Let me help you get that out. While we've got a big stick hanging out of our eye, right? Isn't that the way it goes? We think that we can see so clearly, but we've got so much in our eyes and we can't see to do anything for ourselves, but we're so quick to point out everybody else's faults. Amen. Isn't that good? I think I've said this before here too, but it bears repeating. I like that little phrase. It bears repeating. I think that we all carry our sins on our back like a backpack. Don't you? I can't see my sins very much, and if I do find one, I'll just stick it back there. But I can see yours easy, because I'm looking at you from behind, amen. And so it says you got to get your eyes cleared up. Your vision needs to be healthy and clear, amen. And if it is, then your whole body can be full of light. But he says that if our eye is evil, let me read to you what evil means. You say, well, Brother Blake, I don't like it when you change the meaning of words. It's not that I'm changing the meaning. I'm just digging deeper into it and studying it out. It's not that it's wrong what the Bible says about evil, because it is evil. It is evil in this sense. Listen to what it says. That it's evil in the sense that it's diseased, or that it's in very poor condition as a result of disuse or neglect. Oh, yes. The eye is evil when it is in very poor condition because of disuse or neglect. Now, how can our eyes be in very poor condition due to disuse or neglect? It's when we keep our eyes closed a whole lot. You know, the Bible talks about that, how we need to be awake, up and about. You remember how Jesus even tried to tell his disciples, he said, stay here and watch. I'm going to go yonder and pray. And the Bible always throughout tells us to be watchful, because our adversary, the devil. Amen? He's moving. And if our eye is evil, our whole body shall be full of darkness. And if the light that is in thee, that is our eyes, are dark, how great is that darkness? You know, sometimes I think of it this way. I used to do this here, and I did it a lot at Rock. Y'all know I pastored Rock for almost 2 years, and I did it a lot over there too. And I would always love to watch the heads pop up when I would say this. I'm going to make a confession to you. I saw it. I love it. I love seeing it. I look around when I say that. I'm going to make a confession to you. There's times when I'll be on my way home from work, and the car sometimes is my only time when I have silence. Sometimes it is. I'm being honest about it. And what I can do in that time is I can take advantage of that time, and I can let my mind work, and I can let God move into my spirit, and I can let Him speak to me, and I can have a little bit of prayer time in my car going down the road. I can. But you know what I do a lot of times instead? I let my mind be distracted with a lot of other different things. Whether it be the cars in front of me, the cars beside me, the music on the radio, a telephone call to somebody else. Sometimes I let myself get distracted during times when I need to have my eyes opened and cleaned. What are you getting at, preacher? Think about Samson. Samson knew right from wrong, didn't he? He did. He didn't practice it all the time, but he knew right from wrong. Sure he did. He could tell when something was fair and when something was not fair, just like most people can. And he could see. He had a clear vision of making sure that nobody found out the secret of where his strength really lied. He knew, and he had a clear vision that I've got to keep that a secret. He focused himself and his strength and his attention towards that. His energy was focused on making sure that he could keep his strength in God. Pay attention now. Keep up. And what happened was, Satan didn't try to come and poke his eyeballs out to begin with, did he? No, Satan didn't come and jerk his hair and try to pull it from his head. No, instead, what Satan did was he caused distractions in the life of Samson, right? And if he can keep God's people distracted, even at church, right? We can come to church Sunday after Sunday, Sunday night after Sunday night, Wednesday after Wednesday night. We can sit in the service. We can hear the singing. We can hear the preaching. We can watch them pray. We can even bow our heads when they pray. But if there's something that we're allowing to distract us, then the devil is just sitting back as pleased and as tickled as he can be. He is. Oh, I go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I go on revivals. Preacher, I'm part of this committee and I'm part of that committee. Preacher, you don't understand how much I do for my church. Yes, But if you're distracted during that time and your focus is not on God and what He desires in your life, then it's really not doing you a whole lot of good. That's a pretty strong statement, Brother Matt. So we got to keep our eyes open. We do. I've got 5 kids to raise. And this is something that just touched me a few days ago, maybe a week or two ago. That there were some things I needed to go over with them when I got home from work. Some things that were very important for a daddy to teach his sons. But on my way home, I got distracted. And the next day on the way to work, I remembered I didn't go over it with them. And that's just a small example. But there's a lot of things that happen like that, and you could probably testify to the same thing. That there's things we know we need to get done in our life, whether it's maybe our daily Bible reading or our prayer time with our families, but other little distractions get in our way. And our eyes, our spiritual eyes, just kind of close. We say, well, I'll just take a little moment's rest. Remember what it says in Proverbs about rest, don't you? The sloth, the lazy man says, oh, just a little sleep, just a little slumber, just a little folding of the hands. He said, so shall thy poverty come upon you. Amen. And the light of the body is the eye. We got to keep our eyes open and clear. So the big question tonight is, where is your focus at? Is our focus on the Lord and on what we can do to advance His kingdom? Or is our focus on ourselves and what we can do to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth? That's the big point of this portion of Scripture. In the context here, He's dealing with where our heart is. Where is our heart? Because where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. What is our treasure? It's the thing we focus on the most. Where are our priorities? Now, I don't mean to say this necessarily as Welcome Grove as a whole, but maybe some individuals tonight need to start thinking about, what are my priorities? If I were to make a list right now, what would be number one on the priority list? I'm going to tell you something. It would be a helpful thing if we would do that. If we would sit down with ourselves and with God and take out a pen and a piece of paper and start to write. Number one priority, what is it? Number two, what is it? Number three, what is it? Why, Brother Blake, why is that so important, do you think? What's this big kick you're on? I'll tell you what it is. If we don't know our priorities, we'll be like them in the wilderness, just wandering around. With never a goal to achieve, with never anything in our eyesight, we'll just be wandering around. Just be existing. Because there's a difference. This is something I heard recently too, and I won't tell you where I heard it, because some of you may have heard it too, and I don't want to tell you where I heard it. Listen, this is the thing. There's a difference in being active or busy and being productive. Right? That applies everywhere, even to our spiritual walk with God. I believe that. We can be doing all the activities. We can be busy, but never making any progress, never going anywhere. We can. You've seen the people at work like that. They've got a big stack of paperwork on their desk when they get there Monday morning, and they run around with like a chicken with a head cut off, running around all week long, all day long, and they get back to their desk, and there's never the paperwork never goes any lower. The stack's always high. Why? They were busy all day long, but they didn't do anything productive. They didn't set their priorities. It's the same thing in our walk with God. Can I prove my point really quick, and then we'll be through? You ready? How many of y'all remember in 2010 when Troy and Yolanda and Addison and Casey and I and our kids had joined this church? You remember that Sunday that Troy stood up and said that him and me had decided that we were going to pray that God would save 52 people that year. Y'all remember that? Remember that? And I remember Troy even saying, it may sound silly to you to put a number on it. It may sound silly. He said, but I believe that God can do it. And I think at that point, I was talking to Miss Casey about it already. I think at that point, we'd already seen almost that many saved at that point in the year. It was almost like it was one a week. It may not have been one a week, but it was about that amount of people during that week of the year. Now, do you remember what happened that year? What was it, like 30 people total? Whether it was here or whether it was a revival that Randy was preaching or Troy was preaching or whatever. It was somewhere around 30 people, I believe, that year that ended up. Am I right? Wasn't it somewhere? 20, 30 people. Now, how many here tonight thinks that we lost? No. No, we didn't lose. We gained a lot. When every other little small Baptist church was seeing 1 to 5 people saved, because we bound together and prayed for 52, we saw 20 or 30. Isn't that wonderful? That's my point. If our eyes have a clear vision of what God wants out of us, then, my friend, we can make great strides in our walk with the Lord. I believe that. And so where is your focus tonight? Individually, what are you focused on doing? In your life right now, what's your number one priority? As they come with a verse of a song. Let's stand to our feet. If you feel the need to pray, maybe God's spoken to your heart and said, oh, Lord, fix my priorities. Open my eyes, Lord. If you feel that need to come and pray, come now, even before they start to sing. God bless these that have come.